say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never suffered through sleep paralysis. We enjoyed it. This is Hysteria 51.
Your play on words is about as much fun as a dinner party with Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, well, your shitty metaphor response is as outdated as your motherboard. Anyway, we are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. My name is John Goforth, and alongside to unpack this curious case is the languid logic of Mr. Brent Hand.
Thanks, John. And can I just kick off the show today by telling you, I'm nervous. Nervous.
I have that effect on meat sacks.
You do, and in this case, it's actually, well, it is your fault.
Tell me more.
John, remember a couple weeks ago back when he said he was an influencer and was going to release a series of kids' toys?
Uncle Conspiracy Bots Fun Time Toys.
Oh boy, yeah, I remember.
Well, this morning he brings me up to his room to show me the rest of the, I don't know what you call it, lineup or whatever, and, well, instead of me describing it, it's not going to do it justice. I'll let him take you through it.
So glad you asked, Brent. I just happen to have our spring collection here with me. One second.
For those of you who are not on this Zoom, he just opened his ventral access panel, and see about this better not be another hang low situation.
No. I actually think this one might be worse.
First up today, I have for you the chimney wagon will swing.
Again, for those unable to see what we're seeing, it looks to be your average grappling hook, I would say. Also, a term I never thought I would use regularly before meeting CBOT.
You're welcome.
Anyway, a grappling hook with a rope tied to it. And what looks to be a small wagon wheel. Wait a second, CBOT. You're not going to tell kids to throw a sharp metal grappling hook above their heads to set this up, are you?
Heavens no. I'm telling them to climb on their roof and install it manually. It's for ages 4 and up, so the instructions will be more pictures than words.
Notice how long this rope is?
Yeah, it's like 5 feet. Oh, wait. Wait a second. CBOT, you want kids to swing around their chimney while anywhere from, I don't know, 15 to 30 feet off of the ground?
Or the kid who has everything but a good time.
Or a broken clavicle, but okay. Other than how insanely bad this idea is, CBOT, why do you think people would pay money for it? It's literally frayed rope and a shitty old wagon wheel.
Oh, well, I thought about that too. This is the best part. Or I guess worse, depending on how you feel on that.
It's all about the marketing, John. I learned that with bot juice, yeah, gotta have a catchy hook.
So me, mama,
see bot's chimney.
Wagon wheel.
Swing.
I just threw up in my mouth again.
why? Not a fan of the song?
That's not it at all. I'm just thinking about the fucking lawsuits.
I love Hootie.
I actually do too, and it's Darius Rucker.
No clue who that is. Just love saying the word Hootie.
All right. Enough out of your robot. We'll get to the rest of this lineup another day. We got more important things to tend to, John. And it involves money.
It does. It does involve money.
And not money for shitty toys that are going to kill children.
Right. And also, we're not getting paid for sleep paralysis.
Probably money for shitty booze that's going to kill us. Without further ado, for real, welcome in Sebastian. In my heart, I want to say Tekken, but you told me that's not the right name, but I still want to call you Tekken. But Tekken is the right name.
Tekken.
I
wish it was Tekken.
I'm telling you right now, you'd have my undying love if I could call you Tekken, just because that's my game. John, I actually own John's old Tekken 4 arcade game.
You mean Tekken 4?
Taken for you. I bought that thing in I want to say 2003.
Yeah, he had movers move it, and they just cut all the cords. inside that go from the
those aren't important.
Yeah, and so I had to go through and rewire the whole thing. But yeah, you just paid them to move it and they just go, yeah, that works. Snip, snip, snip. And what's funny is they had the connectors for all the wiring harness that were there. They just cut them on the opposite ends of them. Wow. So that's fun. But welcome. Welcome into the show. Enough about Tekken. Sebastian Deacon.
Can we talk about Paul Phoenix a little, please?
That's my guy. Yeah. So, yeah, before the show, you said that Harang is based on you.
I took 4 years of Taekwondo, and I almost got to yellow belt.
Well, you know.
Not to brag.
Well, it says that in Harang's profile, almost got to yellow belt.
Yeah, that's true.
We had the same blood type, too. I don't know if you ever played the PlayStation one, but it gave you the full details of the blood types for everybody. It was pretty weird.
Just in case you're wondering,
that's a level of detail that is just not necessary on a two-player fighting game.
Oh, no, it worked because in science class, we had to do, ironically, like something to do with blood. So I was like, I pulled out my little game and I started using that.
I, too, have a booklet with all of John and Brent's blood types, allergies, phobias, etc.
That makes sense, actually, when you think, in a few different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Sebastian, you are joining us via Patreon. So thank you, first off. Second off, what's wrong with you?
You know what? This is my time to be the most famous I'm ever going to get. So it was worth it.
You poor son of a bitch.
No. Today I'm lucky.
So how long have you been listening to the show?
I think a couple of years now. I found it on, what's that place called? Google Play, when it was actually a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking for some sort of paranormal podcast, something that talked about, you know, stuff along that line. Mm. And I found your podcast, and I started from episode one. It's very raw.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it was before CBUT's upgrade. So.
Right. Yeah, no, it's funny. People go, oh, I just started listening to your show. I'm like, oh, great. And they go, yeah, I started on episode one. I'm like, oh, no.
Don't do it to yourself.
You're in a shock.
Although it's funny. We always say that. And that's also kind of operating under the assumption it's gotten better, which I would argue it has not.
The
sound,
I will.
Yeah, the sound quality is better. You're right about that. The content, on the other hand.
We have two potatoes.
I mean, as long as one thing improves, I think you're doing good. The audio is better.
Sebastian, I have to say this. I've never seen you. You could. I think when we think people sound like other people, a lot of time it has to do with visuals. So I've not seen you, but you sound just like the actor that plays Greg on Succession. I forget the actor's name.
Shit, they're on to you.
This guy better be handsome.
Do you guys watch Succession at all?
Oh, it's Ron Howard's brother. No,
it is not. It is not. What is his name?
I am actually looking right now. Ron Howard. Clint Howard.
Clint Howard. Yeah, it's not Clint Howard. No. Do you guys watch Succession at all?
No. I don't even know what that is.
Okay, so it's an HBO drama. There's a couple seasons under its belt. It's like there's like this patriarch of a family that's, I think it's supposed to be loosely based on, or not loosely based. It's like a fictional take on a story that might be similar to the real world.
It's like
case,
the Hammers, Army Hammer's family. I believe is
what,
you know, the guy Armie Hammer,
yeah,
the actor. Well, his family were like oil baron tycoons with ties to the Russians and communists and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like his. I was just reading the downfall of Armie Hammer, and they're talking about how that show is like based
on
part of
his blood or something,
on part of his family's true background. I've never seen the show, but I read that yesterday.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that. I thought it was Rudolph Murdoch, but
I'm sure it's an amalgamation of a bunch.
You're right. That's a really good point, because it's not all one thing. Obviously, it's a fictional thing.
Right.
But there's the patriarch of the family, and there's all these kids and nephews and whatever. And this one character, I looked it up. His name is Nicholas Braun. Is the actor. He plays Greg Hirsch. He is Well, I won't get into the show, but it's a great show. So and highly recommend it. And that's all to say, Sebastian, you sound like that dude.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Well, it's also nice to see a Sebastian that's not British. I figured I'd have to call you like Lieutenant or something like that.
Yeah, or a crab. I mean
you didn't ask if I was British or a crab, so
that's true.
Or actually, it'd be a lobster, wouldn't it?
I guess it is lobster, which I had last night, and I think it may have gave me food poisoning.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. My wife
had
lobster last night, too. Where the fuck are you right now? Because she's on quote-unquote vacation. Yeah.
Why do I hear seagulls in the background? Speaking of seagulls, Brent, we have a topic that Sebastian picked today.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask you, we'll get into the why.
Was there
a specific reason for sleep paralysis, or was in you know, or is this just something you've always wanted to talk about?
It's been something that I haven't really looked into until recently, and that's because I've messaged you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that I've always been interested in it is because that I've experienced it for quite some time.
Mm, well, so, I almost said nice, but then I had to bite my tongue because
it's not nice.
Sorry.
So when we end the episode saying, yeah, ultimately, we hear a lot of people talking about it, but it's fake. It's not real. how are you going to feel about that?
Oh, I'm just totally going to agree with you guys. Yeah, it's totally fake. Yeah, I've never done that.
Without further ado, let's go ahead and let's get into the topic then, and we're going to talk.
Hey, wait, hold on. I have one thing I wanted to say before we jumped into this podcast with the subject. I know that like when you first started, you guys drank a lot before the episode.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, now you're not doing that. And for me, yes, I quit drinking for good. I quit drinking for good. Oh, so I felt like this would be a good time to mention it.
Why? Why'd you quit drinking for good?
Well, because now I drink for evil.
Yeah. Stop it.
Great choices I've made in life.
P.S. Sebastian, you still owe me for that last batch of bot booze.
Sure, his money's on the way.
Sebastian, at minimum, you're good at making friends. I will say that.
Oh, perfect.
You know your audience at least. If you can befriend C-Bot, you're doing something right. Well, or something very wrong. I suppose it depends on what side of that coin you want to fall.
Hold up. He can't hear me right.
No, he won't hear this, I promise.
I'm not his friend, I just want his money, or soul. Preferably both if I'm being honest with myself.
That's, okay, yeah, that's,
Wait, hold on, what just happened here?
Sorry, we're cutting out.
Oh, okay, I see.
Sleep paralysis. Now,
it's like, technology doesn't actually work that way, right?
Right.
Okay, anyway.
So sleep paralysis, kids, I wanted to get to the heart of the matter here. I wanted the real definition, and we're a paranormal ghost and all that stuff. I wanted to get the scariest place on earth for the definition.
WebMD.
That is the scariest fucking site.
That is the scariest. Oh, my God. So I felt a small lump on my clavicle. Let me just go to WebMD, 30 minutes later, you're just, sweating in the fetal
cancer
position.
Wait, what?
Obviously, the D in WebMD stands for death.
Yes,
so
that's
it's
right.
True.
C-Bot, hit us with WebMD's sleep paralysis definition.
Word. Sleep paralysis is a feeling of being conscious but unable to move. It occurs when a person passes between stages of wakefulness and sleep. During these transitions, you may be unable to move or speak for a few seconds up to a few minutes. Some people may also feel pressure or a sense of choking. Sleep paralysis may accompany other sleep disorders such as narcolepsy. Narcolepsy is an overpowering need to sleep caused by a problem with the brain's ability to regulate sleep.
So that all sounds terrible, and I can't even imagine going through it.
I've heard more than one person say to another who has had sleep paralysis, I know they say it's horrible, but I'm jealous of you. I unequivocally am not jealous of anyone who experiences sleep paralysis. I do worship you through.
They actually have a name for the disorder or the issue you're going through, atonia, which the shortness of that is muscle no worky. It's kind of what it means. Like you just lay in there and you can't move. And the other big one, now we're going to break down all this a lot, but the other big one that comes in with this and I think is a key player, hallucinations occur, not all the time, but a lot of the time. And that is a, I think that's why a lot of people go, I'm jealous, because they didn't have to eat or drink or smoke something to have that happen. But it's a little bit terrifying when you're going through it.
I mean, who doesn't want a demon right next to you while you can't move?
Amen.
Right? I mean, standards. You know, I want my demons right next to me.
That's how Brent described his prom night. I don't know.
I want my demon right next to me. Oh, you do care. This is a newish way to describe something people have been writing about, talking about, experiencing for centuries. And that is nighttime attacks by ghosts, demons, and aliens. When you talk about sleep paralysis, those are kind of the key players that people bring up. And I say newish, but the first clinical description of sleep paralysis was published in the way back year of our Lord, 1664, in a Dutch physician's case histories. I'm from Holland. Isn't that weird?
Which is, by the way, is always where I go for any medical publications. 1664,
Dutch.
Holland.
Yeah. It was referred to as incubus or the nightmare. Now, nightmare is a word or we think of nightmare as having a nightmare, but a lot of people called this the nightmare. And that's one of the things we're going to hear about a lot. Here's a quote from that journal.
In the nighttime, when she was composing herself to sleep, sometimes she believed the devil lay upon her and held her down. Sometimes she was choked by a great dog or thief lying upon her breast so that she could hardly speak or breathe. And when she endeavored to throw off the burden, she was not able to stir her members. And while she was in that strife, sometimes with great difficulty, she awoke of herself. Sometimes her husband, hearing her make a doleful, inarticulate voice.
That's fun. I got to tell you, I am not happy when my wife is unable to stir members. That's just how I live my life. I don't know if you're married or not, Sebastian, but that's just one of my creeds.
I'm not married. I used to be engaged, but not anymore.
Oh, well. That sounds like a show in and of itself.
That's next. That's next on Donahue.
Mysteria 51.
Coming up after the break.
I just made a reference that I'm not even old enough to get.
Donahue?
I said that's next on Donahue.
Thanks, Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
Michelangelo.
But that is one hell of a turn of phrase, Brent. Jokes aside.
Right.
Yeah, so let's define those two quick terms, incubus and succubus. Incubus and succubus are virtually the same thing, mm-hmm. except for an incubus is the male version. Succubus is the female version, if
mm-hmm.
I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. So this nightmare, incubus, succubus concept, they say, they being historians, that is descended from belief in an entity called Lilith. Now, if you've watched any vampire movie in the last decade, they seem to all want to latch onto that Lilith concept. In history, though, the earliest reference...
And Frasier.
Yes. The earliest... wonder if that
Thank
was
you.
On purpose.
Yeah. Be here all week.
The earliest reference to Lilith is found in the Sumerian Kings List of 2400 BC. The name on there was Lilitu, or She-Demon. She bore children from her nocturnal unions with men. So she would rape men, the She-Demon, just to have demon babies. Now, that's just one version.
How my brother was born?
Maybe so. I'm pretty sure John was born similarly. Wasn't that the story Pap used to tell you?
No. So here's what happened. My ship arrived here on Earth a long, long time ago, and it was in the middle of a cornfield.
Our planet's dying. Yeah, son. That's why we got to send you away. The world's dying.
The whole world's dying. That's it. That's the ticket.
Stupid baby.
So they also appeared in modern Middle Eastern maternity wards.
Oh.
They in the form of an amulet of Lilith for protection.
Give me the amulet, you bitch.
Well, the one that I'm familiar with is a lot of people have talked about how she was Adam's first wife, Lilith, and she was just like, fuck this shit, I'm out. And they're like, well, that's not good. So they made her into a demon, you know, who preyed on women during childbirth. And then he goes, let's try again with Eve. And that's how that worked out. Literally, that's one of the fucking, and I think that's where the a lot of the vampire stories about Lilith comes from, and she's like this biblical,
right,
you know, thing. Real salt of the earth type broad, you know, just the kind you want to take home to meet mom, and she's like, haven't we met? You're like, oh shit, you know. Anyway.
That old chestnut?
Yeah. Yeah, but scientists have stepped in as they're one to do and ruin a good story. And today, the clinical cause, they say, responsible, surprisingly, isn't a biblical demon that is causing these disturbances in sleep, but it's sleep paralysis due to unsuitable timing of REM sleep. That's kind of fucking lame. She demon sounds so much better. The visitations of she demon to me, other than your REM sleep isn't working very well.
Hell yes.
They should have just called it, the scientific name is she demon.
Yeah, they can name shit whatever they want. Why not have some fun with it?
Stupid scientists.
If you remember from last week, we learned about hellmouths. These she-demons come out of hellmouths.
I was going to make a real bad joke about hellmouth, but I'm just going to keep going. So during the quote-unquote nightmare episode or period, the sleeper becomes partially conscious during REM sleep. That's what they say, they being scientists, leaving the individual in a state of between dream and wakefulness, and that is when all sorts of shenanigans in your brain happen. Now, they break it down even further, and they say there's two types of sleep paralysis. One is isolated sleep paralysis, and that is an episode. It's not connected to an underlying diagnosis of an issue like narcolepsy or a neurological disorder that prevents the brain, like we said, from properly controlling the way you sleep, and that can lead to sleep paralysis. The other is recurrent sleep paralysis, and that involves multiple episodes over time. So it's either I had one, I don't have narcolepsy, I don't know why, or I have them all the time, and it's probably related to insert blank. Now, I think probably the isolated would be more terrifying just because you don't know what's happening, right? You know, if it was just a one and done, you'd be like, holy shit, I don't know. John, you've never experienced it, have you?
Well, I have experienced a version. I'll just explain. I had surgery a while back. And this is known to happen with surgery. Your anesthesia wears off, but part of it wears off and the other part doesn't. You know, it's got multiple effects. And mine did. I still had the tube down my throat. I was still intubated. It wore off to where I could not, but it was still in effect where I couldn't move. I couldn't move a muscle. So I was conscious. I was aware that I was intubated. And whenever you're intubated and you're conscious, it feels like you just got to yank that thing out. Like that's all you want to do. And I couldn't move my arms to do it. And I'm sure this was a period of 5 seconds of wakefulness, or, you know, but I remember it like it was an eternity. And then eventually I woke up and I remembered it. I actually remembered the experience. I think that a lot of that happens a lot of the time. And I think you don't remember it because of the effects of the anesthesia. And I told the surgeon about it after. He's like, yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's an art, not a science. I'm like, that's good to hear.
That's why it's going to practice. Anyway, you're going to die later.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it was, and the reason I said a version of that was, we know exactly why that happened, and that was the drugs not working the right way. But even in my limited, I know the exact reason it happened way, because it's obviously a lot more terrifying to not know why something happens. That was still scary.
Right.
So I can't imagine what it's like out in the wild where you don't know why it happened or keeps happening.
Sebastian, have you ever had any surgeries or anything like that where you had to have been put under?
I have, yeah. A few of them.
Oh, so me too. And I have a problem. And I know John and I have talked about this. I wake up during them a lot. Unfortunately, I am able to move. And I was intubated on that one. And I tried to pull the shit out and I collapsed both my lungs.
Jeez.
So that's fun. I was in that was when I had my gallbladder.
Thanks, C-bot.
Yeah. And I was in the ICU for 11 days when it's supposed to be like an outpatient surgery. So those are fun. Hey, but you've never had an issue with waking up or anything like that during those?
No, I slept like a baby, and they took longer than they were supposed to. So
you had a good anesthesiologist.
Yeah, I sure did. Or good drugs, one of the two.
Here we go.
They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand.
Doctors talk about this a lot. When you look online, you try to find the reasons why. They say most likely it's going to occur during adolescence. And we said this, but, you know, it's a few seconds. Like, John, you go, it felt like an eternity. It's probably 5 seconds. They can actually last for a few minutes. And when asking what causes it, they say a lot of it is stress, jet lag, sleep deprivation. People that have panic disorders could do it.
Yeah, on the and on sleep deprivation, that is, many doctors point to that one as a pretty reliable way to trigger it. If you have one that's triggerable,
wow.
Sleep deprivation, that'll get you often.
There's other stuff. Then we said narcolepsy.
There's no surprise here that sleep conditions are tied together and part of the same part of the brain interrelate to one another. 20-40%, depending on the study, of people with narcolepsy also suffer from sleep paralysis. Similar number, 20-40% of people with narcolepsy also suffer from something called vivid hypnagogic hallucinations.
Say that again. And what was that vivid, again? Vivid hypnagogic? That
hypnagogic.
You wrote it down exactly. In the notes, and I see it. Hypnagogic, that is a new word to me.
So I'll explain the difference. There's hypnagogic and there's hypnopompic. And
you're such a
the difference
pumpic
is it one of them a Street Fighter move?
Yes, yes.
Hadouken, Hadouken, hypnogogic, hypnogogic, tiger uppercut,
hypnopompic.
Psycho crash.
The difference here though is actually really straightforward.
Wait, time hypnagogic. Out. Fuck Street Fighter, Tekken all the way. All right, you can keep going.
Yeah. Tekken, you mean?
I'm a Mortal Kombat guy myself. I'm just saying. Anyway, hey,
John
right,
actually
so,
pitched Tekken Tickle Tag a few years ago, but no one wanted to buy it. I wasn't really into it either. Keep going, John.
Hypnagogic happens when you are falling asleep. Hypnopompic means when you're waking up.
Oh, so, okay. And that's then you have hallucinations.
You have
hallucinations,
but you don't have to have sleep paralysis to have hallucinations. They just can often go hand in hand when they're not accompanied with sleep paralysis. They're called vivid hypnagogic hallucinations if you're falling asleep, hypnopompic if you're waking up.
Well, the other one that we talked about was sleep onset REM periods, and one thing to keep in mind is you don't just fall asleep and then you're in your sleep cycle all night long. They ebb and flow. You're in and out of your REM sleep all night long, and some people don't go into those correctly, right? And that triggers it.
Yeah, that's the problem. So a lot of to be clear, with sleep paralysis, they have no definitive answer as to why it happens. Even today, they have no. But most doctors are like sharks circling around one reason. And it's also kind of like they know, even if they know the reason, causing that reason can also be challenging. But it's what you just said, Brent, it's sleep onset REM period. And what it is an abnormally rapid transition from wakefulness to REM sleep. So you're kind of skipping that non-REM sleep you mentioned, Brent. Mm-hmm. And it so you have this non-REM sleep when you're kind of lightly asleep that kind of transitions you softly into REM sleep. And
I like to be transitioned rapidly into REM. Just skip all that. That's
what this is.
Trauma, though, I think. So.
It's sleep onset REM periods. It means as soon as you fall asleep, you're in REM.
Yeah.
It's actually an acronym. It's called a SORM. They think that this is pretty much the reason sleep paralysis happens.
Wow. And when they talk about it, there's a lot of the key checkoffs that they're, the inability to move or speak. That's the essential thing. And there may not be, but there also might be hallucinations. And it's not physically harmful, but people have died mainly because of the stress of it. They've talked about overseas, large populations that lock into this paranormal aspect of it have died of like heart attacks.
Then I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. Dying in sleep paralysis.
Oh my God. Well, because you don't actually think like, Joe Boo from Major League is coming to eat you or something like that. But well, and a big thing that's kind of tie into it, hallucinations. They're not just, they're all over the place. Auditory, visual, sensory. It's crazy. There's kind of three categories they put into it. There's the intruder. People say there's sounds of doorknobs opening, shuffling footsteps, a shadow man, or a sense of a threatening presence in the room. Then you got the incubus / succubus, this feeling of pressure on the chest. You have difficulty breathing with, you know, you almost feel like someone's got a pillow on you. You're being smothered, strangled, or sexually assaulted by a malevolent being instead of a benevolent being, I guess. The individual believes they're about to die. And then there is vestibular motor, a sense of spinning, falling, floating, flying, hovering, out of body existences, shit like that. Fuck that noise. All of those sound terrifying as
well,
shit.
Well, Brent, that's rude. You called the incubus or the intruder hallucinations. What if they're real?
Well, but see, that's where incubus and succubus get a bad rap. What if they are real?
Well, the band certainly is.
Right. Yeah, incubus. What was their song? Do you remember? I say song. I'm sure there's.
Yeah, they had a lot of them. They were a pretty popular band in the late 90s.
I would say early 2000s, right? Drive, Wish You Were Here, Dig, Pardon Me. I'm sure I know.
Wish You Were Here was probably the.
I probably know all those, but they're not ringing a bell.
I could sing Wish You Were Here, but I won't do that to any of you.
I tell you what, on that note, before he starts singing, let's go to bed. Oh my God, let's go.
Let's what? Hey, listen, man.
Morning, dude.
Uh-oh. Let's go to break.
Brent, is there a new Patreon level I'm unaware of?
Yeah, you guys get to watch me have a sleep paralysis episode. We're going to go to break and come right back with more Hysteria 51.
I'm concerned.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
Lieutenant Sebastian, I have questions. You said you suffer from sleep paralysis.
Lobster. He's a lobster.
Lobster man. Crab people, crab people. Name Sebastian.
Or dolphin.
Tell us about it. What's your experience? How did you experience it? Do you still experience it? When did it happen? Fill in the blanks.
I'll try to fill in the blanks. When I was a kid, like around 5, you know, around, I guess, adolescence, whatever the age that is. I'm assuming that's the age. I would wake up and for like a split second, I was kind of frozen and there would be something standing or like just a head floating next to me. And I always thought that was just weird.
Could you make out the details of the head?
It would start out really detailed and then like seconds would go by and it would just slowly vanish.
Its name was Zordon and it would say Rangers. Rita is attacking whatever.
I even emailed Disney. They didn't even accept it.
He would open his eyes and say, Mecha Lecha Hi, Mecha Heiny Ho.
That is, all joking aside, terrifying. You're waking up, you can't move, and there's a head floating. Fuck that.
It was pretty bad, but that went away. I mean, and then around when I was like 21 years old, I would get them weekly, and I did not know what they were, and I would be frozen. And it started off like I was frozen, I can't move, and it was like a couple minutes. Awful. Started off, no hallucinations, and then eventually the hallucinations would come. And there'd be like demons, ghosts, aliens, dragons, you name whatever the heck is going to scare you. Then they would, or snakes would be crawling on me.
Whoa.
It was the worst.
So you saw a lot, like you just listed 3, 4, or 5 different types of things, you know, snakes, demons, dragons, yada, yada. Did you see all of those?
I saw all of them and they wouldn't be at the same time, but there would be like, I've had like a witch or like something would crawl out of my wall and it was terrifying.
Holy fuck.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Like the ring.
Yeah, something like that. And
you were masturbating against Sebastian. Oh shit, it's real. It's real.
I knew it.
I feel like if I saw something crawling out of the wall, that'd be bad enough. But wouldn't it make it 10 times worse if it moved like the girl in the ring did?
Right.
That jerky weird movement.
And then have it look at your face directly. Like it's literally inches away and you can't move.
The only thing scarier would be if like Prince was in your room, just standing there staring at you and like pink.
Considering he's been dead for a couple of years, that would be frightening. Well, yeah. Yes.
I told you I saw a ghost. Obviously it was Prince.
I was watching if you guys ever watched Tales from the Tour Bus, and they're talking about with Morris Day meeting Prince when they were kids. He's like, I go into the band press and there's this guy just in the corner staring. And every time they'd show it, they'd play like spooky music and zoom in on him. He goes, it was like 3 months before he spoke to me. That was Prince as a kid. He goes, he had that scary, weird shit on lock since he was a kid. You know, and he's like 4'9" and just fucking staring at you. So do you still suffer from them?
Yeah, I would say it went from when, like I said, like it's around the 20s, it was like weekly, like a couple times a week. Then it went to a couple times a month. Now it's like a couple times, like every like 4 months, I'll probably have 2 or 3. But the
how old are you?
28.
So as it depreciates,
so it's been back for 7 years.
Diminishing returns, might say.
So there's been some weird ones. Like the worst one I ever had, which I don't even know if it's still sleep paralysis or like a weird vivid dream, but I was in sleep paralysis and I was like, okay, I have to beat this because obviously they terrified me. So I was like, I'm going to completely relax. And I just took one deep breath in and one deep breath out. And as soon as I took my deep breath out, it was like my soul, whatever you want to call it, was sucked right out of my body and shot into the sky. And I was looking above my house, like Google Maps. It shot down to the road. And then I used to walk all the time, like I would walk a couple miles. It shot through the exact path I always took when I took my walks. And then it just suddenly stopped. And it was, you ever see Evil Dead or
Zoom in thing?
Like, yeah, that zoom camera thing. It was just like that, except for it cut through that little valley I always went through. It stopped in front of a tree. And then I have no control of the camera view. I guess you could call it that. And then it slowly went to the right. And then
it turned out it was taking a leak.
Right. I wish. No, look down. And then in the bushes, I saw my cut up dead body.
Whoa.
And as soon as I recognized it was me, it shot in reverse into the exact same path back over the house and, you know, through the trail and then shot down back to my room where I was sleeping. And I woke up like, and then I was like sitting up. It was nuts.
People lick all sorts of trees and figs and ferns and shit just to try to get those experiences. And here you are getting them for free.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I don't think it's cocaine.
You're not sleeping if you're on cocaine.
Yeah, I think I'd be more awake. Maybe I should have. That's how I avoid sleep paralysis.
But one thing you mentioned, what you mentioned led to something far worse, seeing your dead body. One of the things that I read when researching this was that some people say, like, there are some people that suffer from sleep paralysis that say they've kind of got a handle on it. And what I mean by that is they can pull themselves out of it.
There's vivid dreamers say that too. Yeah. That's interesting.
And one of the techniques they say is Instead of trying to, you're trying to get your whole body up at once, because what do you want to do? If you think there's a malevolent being sitting next to you, you want to get the fuck out of there. So you're trying to like jump up out of your bed and run. And like, you're trying, that's too much. It's like, try to move your pinky finger once. And just that, focusing on that. And that, they say that's a technique that works for them to pull them out of
it. It's like the bride in, Kill Bill, where she's trying to walk. She's like, just one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yep,
exactly.
Trying to move.
In reading that, I just kept thinking, man, it must be frustrating to be someone who suffers from this. And like, I read the technique. It doesn't fucking work for me. Like, that's how I always feel about, meditation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no, you're just not doing it. Just give it some time. Give it room. No, I know what you're saying. It just doesn't fucking work for me.
Right.
Yeah, I tried to like move anything I could, like a pinky toe, like just wiggle something. But the only thing I can control is my breathing.
That's interesting, too, because that comes from a different part of your brain.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so that there might be a clue hidden.
Not
in
even
somewhere.
Your fight or flight. That's like your survival hidden, your lizard
brain. Your lizard brain.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's interesting and that you really went down this road, and a lot of them that has been so strong, is this whole paranormal connection. And holy shit, do these ties run deep with sleep paralysis and paranormal. Your brain misfires and you're fucking paralyzed in bed, seeing ghosts and nude were-dragons and an orgy of pain. And maybe that's just me, but that's where mine goes.
Wait, what? That got oddly specific.
Then you die. Then aliens come and take you, or you're doing that weird camera fly through the, you know, from Evil Dead. Then you wake up and your shirt was all real. Then you tell your doctor and they're like, ah, ha, ha, classic sleep paralysis. That's a hard pill to swallow when you're pretty sure that, I don't know, Alf and the fucking guy from some movie came and raped you. You're like, holy shit. And that's another one, is the whole sexual deviance of it. That's terrifying. You know, it's frightening as fuck.
That begs the question, Sebastian. You experienced all of these things. Do you look back on them and holistically say, that was all hallucinations? I know it. It doesn't mean it's not scary at the time, but I know it's hallucinations. Or do you look back in and go, I think some of those experiences were real and there was a being in my room, a mixture of the both? What is it for you?
As much as I want to believe I was abducted by aliens, I'm just pretty sure it was a crazy dream. Like, I don't think anything else of it other than sleep paralysis.
Got it.
Well, that's the thing. It's in your brain. By definition, you can't really tell the difference. And that's why things can be so realistic. And that's why so many people refuse to believe something didn't happen.
That's the problem. It's two different wake states at the same time. So you're getting the benefit of one wake state, which is dreaming. So your imagination's ability to conjure things. And then, but you're also taking the negative of, well, when I'm dreaming, I'm normally your body shuts down for a reason. Otherwise, when you go running in your dream, you'd go running, running in your bed. So your body shuts everything down and you're paralyzed for a reason. So these things are supposed to work. They're just not supposed to work at the same time. You're not supposed to be conscious and then not be able to move those arms and legs.
Begs the question, how do you differentiate between real and hallucination? Like, what do you do?
It's a good question. I wouldn't know where to begin, but I'd probably try to approach it like any other mystery I was trying to solve. Like, is there physical evidence? You know, I saw I know you didn't say this, Sebastian, but I saw a severed head. Is there blood on the carpet from the severed head? You know, like I know that's silly if it was a spirit. Like, you're like, well, of course it didn't leave blood, but you got to start somewhere.
Right.
If it happens to me frequently, could I set up a camera to see if there's
a lot of people that they didn't want to believe wasn't happening until they started doing audio video recordings, you know, or having witnesses to be like, no, you were in bed the whole time. You were just chanting and yelling or you didn't even move. And I want to kill everyone. Satan's my pal, devil's my friend, you know.
That's a good thing.
It's a hard pill to swallow for people, and I understand why. Even when you have witnesses, you didn't do that. Well, I did. I know it. The other thing, you know, we talked about the nightmare, going back to that, and then there the incubus and succubus connection. So what is considered the most famous representation of the phenomenon was from 1781. It's a painting called The Nightmare by this Swiss artist named Henry Fuseli, and it shows seen it. If you should look it up, it's a young woman laying kind of limp across their bed as an incubus squats on her stomach, staring like over the shoulder back at you, the viewer, and it's drawing them into her nightmare. And it's literally was made as a clinical representation of sleep paralysis. And the nightmare, as they call it, the succubus, the physical embodiment, appears to be two distinct terms referring to two different sleep manifestations, which, you know, explain occurrences of frightening disturbances in sleep.
That's a really good point. Like a nightmare, the term, we actually are using it wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, by now, once something is used wrong for so long, it becomes right. So the term nightmare originally was this very specific thing, this incubus thing. And now it's kind of come just for any right. kind of bad dream.
So formula have. Like nightmare referred to, you know, no sexual content. And then if you had a nightmare with sexual content, then it was incubus or succubus. And at some point, like you're saying, John, they become synonymous and interchangeable. I like to define a little bit more. Yeah, that was a, now I just call them wet dreams.
That's when you pee the bed.
Man, hey, if you want a glimpse into Brent's soul, there you go.
I don't know if it's my soul. But I'm super bad. I got so. Oh, sorry. Anyway, let's on that note go back to break. And when we come back, we're not going to talk about my soul. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51.
Can't talk about what you don't have.
He has a piece of paper that says he owns it now. I had to tell him, just because you write on a piece of paper, I own Brent's soul, I didn't give it to him, I didn't sell it to him, it doesn't work.
And he didn't even sign it.
Yeah, right. And then he goes and becomes a notary of the public, and so he notarizes himself and had Kyle witnesses. That doesn't work. That does not work.
We'll see.
I don't think. I don't know, and now I'm scared.
I don't know, that's two witnesses, so.
That's true.
Kyle literally signed it cheese muffins.
I mean, however you sign your name, they can't tell you you're wrong. I drop.
It's true. They can't tell you that you're that you did.
I draw a piece of bacon with visible sizzles. That's how I like to draw my name.
Crispy or floppy?
Oh, yeah, Sebastian. Where do you fall on the bacon train?
I don't know. I don't like it too crispy, but I also don't like it too floppy.
Never trust a man who doesn't have their bacon preference on the ready.
I want my bacon. If you drop it, I want it to shatter. That's where I'm at. Now, I'll eat it floppy. This is going down a train track I'm not real loving.
Wait, we're talking about bacon?
John, you're on the crispy side too, right?
Yeah. I maybe not shatter.
I know.
Yeah. But break apart into one or two pieces. I definitely like it crispy. My wife is the exact opposite. And it's one of those
Boil bacon. You know, like those people. You're like, what are you doing?
And it's one of those foods that's very hard to prepare two ways. But you're getting it, some of it out of the pan, and then the other stuff's still crisping up, and then you go serve it, and then all of a sudden it's gotten too crisp. I started using my air fryer for the bacon.
Oh, really?
Like BLTs or something.
Very nice.
Yeah. Like
did you end up, John was trying to buy a brand new oven that had a built-in air fryer, and he found out that the technology was almost too new. Did you end up finding one that worked, or did you have to get a separate one?
No, we went, went back just to a good old-fashioned normal oven with convection bake, because convection bake is not that far off from air frying.
Yeah.
And we bought an air fryer just for the weeknight quick warm-ups, and we loved it.
We did all new appliances in our kitchen, and we got not only did we do a nice, awesome stove, we got the new – so our oven above it, the vent is built into our microwave, and we got the convection oven microwave and all that shit too, so it's been fun. And actually I like it every once in a while. If you have to cook like a gross ass frozen pizza, they cook great in there, crispy, and it's got a rack and it's all anyway, I'm fat.
Oh, the microwave has a convection,
it's or regular oven, you can set it to 400 degrees and cook a fucking roast in there. Wow, it's awesome. So it's really good.
Are you, Sebastian, are you an air fryer guy?
I've air fried one thing and I burnt it.
Thing. Do you own one and you've only tried it once, or were you in another venue?
I was technically, I had an apartment, and then my roommate, he had one. So I used it, and I couldn't figure that stupid thing out. I didn't look at the directions or anything. I just threw it in there, but.
Well, the way you should, you act first and ask questions later. I mean, that's how I do things. I mean, like anytime my kid gets a toy and they give me, you know, a pamphlet full of directions, throw those in the garbage and let's just get
fuck
some screws
this shit
out and
I'm
get to
out.
Work.
Boop, boop. Yeah.
It's like Legos. You just look at the picture and you know how to do it.
Robot.
Otherwise, you shouldn't have bought
it. And
You know we're off track when Seabot's trying to pull us back on track.
John, tell us about sleep paralysis around the world, because going down the paranormal route, a lot of them blamed it on things. Break those down a little bit.
In Egypt, we've mentioned these guys on and girls, I suppose, on the show before, but in Egypt, they blame it on the djinn.
That's a genie, my friend. That is a genie.
It is.
Are you sure it's not a drink?
It's a J-I-N, not a G-I-N.
They blame it on Ryan Reynolds, yep. Actually.
Ryan Reynolds trying to convince millennials that just straight gin tastes good. Get out of here. Get out of here, 1930s. Come on now.
I'm just drinking it. I'm not even tasting it.
I'm a big gin fan.
I thought you were going to say alcoholic. I was like, what?
I'm a huge alcoholic. No, I'm a big gin fan at times when I'm in like the mood for it. But I will admit, it is an acquired taste.
Gin is especially like gin and tonic. My wife likes it. Tonic has a very bitter taste. And when I think gin, I think more of that gin and tonic bittery taste than I even think of actually gin. Yeah. And I love martinis, but I want my
vodka. That's why you got to drink gin and juice.
Well, there you go. Yep. Gin.
Continuing on our world tour of sleep paralysis in Italy, it's believed to be caused by an assault by the pandafesh, a figure described as a malevolent witch or terrifying giant cat.
Sebastian, you said you had a witch.
I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, but panda, panda, fesh, f-e-c-h-e.
Panda fece. It's Italy. You got to say it, you know. Sure. Pandafece. It goes good with some nice gabagoo, you know.
What's the most stereotypical voice for? Can I do a really bad Mario?
It's a me.
That's a me.
This is where I'm going to shamelessly plug my Marco and Luisi on YouTube. Check it out. Sebcasso, C-E-B-C-A-S-S-O.
Yes. I love shamelessly plugging lots of things, but that's more of a disorder, my.
Why he helped start a podcast. I had shit to plug, yeah. Man.
It's perfect timing, dude.
Hell yeah. Keep going, John. Where else? We got any others?
South Africa, believed to be caused by black magic and a creature called a tokolosh.
Yeah, tokolosh. Tokolosh sounds like a expensive chocolate from the Netherlands. I love this. My favorite one is Toblerone's
competitor.
Yeah, exactly. I love it when they're talking about all these crazy shit, and then they're like, and then it comes to the Danish people. They're like, they are not paranormal believers, and they just go, "It's caused by stress." You literally said the Danish people they got time for that. They're like, "Yeah, there's a floating head. I'm just really stressed out."
That's the scariest one.
Right? Yeah. No, holy shit.
And that kind of is the scariest one, isn't it? Like, I am so fucking stressed that severed heads are appearing above my bed. Okay. Mm-hmm. I need to work out.
Yeah. Where'd this bloodstain come from? Oh, no, it's just stress.
This Jamba Juice job is really getting to me. Fuck.
In the Great White North, your favorite country, Brent, Canada, is referred to as the old hag.
Yeah, she comes in the form of a giant plate of poutine. And just spills all over your room. You're like, no.
I just washed those drapes.
Wash that and make hockey practice. In the Caribbean island of St. Lucia, it's a creature called the Kokma or Kokma. K-O-K-M-A.
Take me down to the Kokma. Yeah.
In this whole line of things, the creature is very much the traditional description of the succubus, the spirit of the dead. Or an unbaptized baby which attacks people in their beds and cuts off their respiration by jumping on their chest and grasping at their throats. That's a very distinct, this kokma. And it makes me think of the movie Cat's Eye. Did you ever see that part of it?
I did not see that.
It's a young Drew Barrymore, and she gets a cat. And they're convinced this cat is sitting on her chest and, like, causing her to have, like, she has asthma. Well, what it really is this little dwarf, little itty bitty creature living in the wall that comes in and steals your breath. And the cat is like fighting to like save her. And it's a total like comes in, sits on your chest, steals your breath, and you die. Cat's Eye. If you haven't seen it, it's fantastic.
It's a play on the old Egyptian. I mean, there's an old Egyptian, basically Egyptians in antiquity believed that that the cats were kind of nefarious creatures and would sit on your chest while you slept and steal your breath.
Well, that's probably because cats are nefarious creatures that will sit on your chest and steal your breath. I don't know if you know that.
I mean, if you want to be truthful,
there's a meme goes around.
Matter.
It's the exact same meme. It's got a dog and a cat. And the first one's got a dog and says, well, they feed me, they pick up after me, they take care of me, they must be a god. And then the cat says, they feed me, they pick up after me, they take care of me, I must be a god. And that's the, do you have pets at all, Sebastian?
I do have a dog.
Do you? I'm a dog fan. So is John.
Yeah. They're what kind of dog?
Creatures. It's a pit bull American bulldog mix.
She's
super sweet. She doesn't bark at people. She doesn't bark if you knock. She just wags her tail and wiggles because she thinks she gets pets.
Lisa and I are big pit bull fans. We've rescued them, and we are
from burning buildings. It was crazy. Right.
We my oldest just passed. He was 14. We had three. We have two now, and they're both from rescues. And just sweet. Just I love them. Love them. Love them. Love them.
Brent, do you think you'll get a third?
If it's up to my wife, we would probably already have had one, and she keeps sending me pictures constantly. So it's I think that clock is ticking. If I had to
guess. You're gonna go home one day and you're gonna have another one.
I know. Like she's pretending like, no, what do you mean? I don't even know. It followed me.
Oh, that's what she was doing in Jamaica. She comes home with a dog.
Yeah, but I can't understand anything it says because of the accent. It's gonna be weird. I've never seen a dog with dreadlocks though. That'll be fun.
It's a poodle.
Oh, I actually have. That's a thing on the internet.
Really? It's so weird. My dog always goes, I come in the room, he goes, bark. Boy, where'd you get this dog from? Right near the beach.
Beach.
I stick by my story.
Now that is a type of food that is fucking hard to get outside of Jamaica. That's worth a shit.
Jerk.
It is impossible. Jerk chicken, jerk pork. It is so hard to get a good version.
They have
outside
a KFC in Ocho Rios. Is it Ocho Rios?
They're all over the place. There's one Montego Bay,
and they make like jerk chicken outside, and there's a line 5 blocks long to get in to get their chicken. They have a thing where all the food that they serve there has to be able to come from there. So the pigs, the cows, the chickens, they all have to come from there.
Yep.
And so KFC,
that's right.
That's why you don't have like McDonald's and stuff there, because they can't import their own beef.
It's also why if you try their the fries anywhere, they taste so different than any French fries you'd get here. They're sweeter because the alkalinity of the soil, because they have to grow the potatoes mm-hmm. there. And then the oil they fry them in is coconut oil. Because that's the oil they have.
Yeah, it's just a different,
So it's a completely different flavor. I love it. If you can't tell, both Brent and I are big fans of Jamaica.
Have you been, Sebastian?
I've not been. I've been to Canada. Is that the same thing?
Very, very, very similar.
I mean, from climate to accent, it's spot on.
Now, you live in California. Did you go up to like Vancouver? You do live in California, right?
I live in California.
Did you go to like the Vancouver area, or where did you go in Canada?
It was Malibu, Canada, and it's not the Malibu in California, but the Malibu in Canada.
Where
weird.
Is that at? I have no idea.
I don't know where. I was like 17, but it's like this little island, and it's super cool. It took forever to get there. There's a 4-hour boat ride. And then there was like an 8-hour, 12-hour bus ride. Lots of rides that took too long.
Wow.
That's, you know, I forget too that if it depends on where you grew up geographically or where you live geographically as to if you take any kind of vacation where you might go. I mean, it's quicker for us, for Brent and I, to get on a plane and go to Jamaica than it would be to come see you in California.
Yeah, that's why my wife loves, and her mom, and we go too. We love going there. It's a short flight. And it's, you know, and then you're there and you don't have to take long to get to where you want to go to. You know, it's just a fantastic.
And it's the same reason that people in California wind up in Hawaii so much more often. And it cuts, you know, it's a much shorter flight for them than it is for us.
Yeah. So I'm looking up Malibu. So you're north of Vancouver. It's like an inland waterway and it looks like there's no good way to get there, interestingly enough. So,
yep.
Yeah,
like I said, 4-hour boat ride.
Yeah, you probably went up the river, I bet. That actually looks like
it was cool, too.
Cool.
It was huge.
Yeah. It's called the Jervis Inlet that gets you to it. Very cool.
You know what they say about the Jervis Inlet, don't you? When you're by the water, the edge, they say don't go down to the water's edge.
Yeah. It's the Jervis Inlet, my friend.
They don't know who did it, but they saw who did.
Who did. Don't down to Jervis's water's edge. Mm. Not Incubus. Thank you very much.
Back to sleep paralysis.
Hey, we didn't get a party all the time. We can keep going. We can keep going in them.
Yeah, it's true. We can.
So literally, though, there's a lot of common themes about this, and the ones that everyone, and Sebastian ran the gamut on these, but going through them kind of fast. Demons, shadow people, aliens, and abduction. We hear that all the time in bed. The other one, terrifying, death, floating, threat, hypervigilance. You know, you're terrified. You're focused on what's happening. The incubus, the succubus, that's where it comes from. You know, there and on and on and on and on and on. I mean, when you're dealing with hallucinations, it's hard to even come up with a cap on what you could be seeing. And I asked around because I know some people that have suffered from it. And I spoke to Jeff Adamick. Jeff Adamick, we've had on the show before. He hosts Changing Hearts and Minds. And he was in the military. And he's unfortunately, he has suffered from sleep paralysis. And I said, you want to give us a quote or something? He was nice enough. He wrote me a little bit about what he's gone with. I want to read that real quick. He said, I had my first episode of sleep paralysis in 1995. I was at airborne school, and for a while, I wasn't sure it happened or if it was a dream. Then a few years later, I started having them again, and the frequency of them increased. After being injured in combat and PTSD started, I began to have them, the episodes, 2 to 3 times a week. Now, it's not that often, but I still have episodes on average 3 to 4 times a month. So because I've had it so much, I've had every type of reported event, such as awaken to realize you can't move or vocalize at all. This feeling while in bed at night causes a feeling of impending doom to begin and even think someone or something is there. The more you panic, the more you can't move, and you start to truly panic. Then snap, you become fully able to move and you're awake. Or if you're like me, you have learned to know what's happening when it starts and use calming and focused relaxation to try to ride it out. Now, the most insane episode I ever had has happened 2 to 3 times. I wake up to paralysis, but I feel like I'm floating sideways off my bed. I'm telling you, it's so vivid of a feeling. I believe myself that this could be the source of people's reports of abduction by aliens from their bed, because it's no joke, such a real feeling. I had it so bad they had me go to sleep for a study, and it's called polysomnogram. Ultimately, I had my episodes reduced from recovering from my combat physical and mental injuries and learning to self-soothe as best I can when I have it. That self-soothing is the calming and the breathing, because as you were talking about, Sebastian, that's the one thing that you can control. I don't expect to ever go away fully, and I still have the panic-filled terrors every now and then, but I'm sure it is a brain activity issue and not a paranormal or alien abduction-connected issue. Bold statement there, Jeff Adamick.
Cotton. Let's see how it works out for him.
What are your thoughts on it, Sebastian? What, you know, I mean, you've kind of told us yours. Do you have any closing thoughts or how you feel or even better, tips for people that might be experiencing it?
The one thing that I have noticed is when I sleep on my back, that's when I get sleep paralysis the most.
That was something in the studies too, when I was reading that, they said that is one of the triggers.
One of the weird things that I've happened for my sleep paralysis time is I was on my side, or at least I thought it was, and I felt something, like, you know how you say they can do stuff, whatever. I just felt something grab my shoulder and then pull me back on my back, and then I went into a full sleep paralysis. It was the weirdest, most vivid thing, like, because I could feel a hand, but it obviously there was nobody there. Yeah. So, I mean, I got no tips, because when I tried to relax, it was the worst one I've ever had.
I am not going to go ahead and give tips right now, because you don't want to experience this shit.
Yeah. But John, what are your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. No one can say this isn't real, because they're just hundreds of thousands of people experience it.
Yeah, well, it's a medical condition. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure a number of you listening have experienced it. The question is whether there's a paranormal or, you know, kind of supernatural angle to it or connection. Is it just your brain misfiring like a bad spark plug, you know, just firing different, you know, it's off, the timing's off with when you have access to to control of your limbs and when you don't, or do those hypnagogic and hypnopompic states open you up to visitations? Is it hellmouth that you would normally not be open to? That's the question. And I don't know I probably lean towards the more scientific version, the same way Sebastian does, but not my place to say.
You brought up an interesting thing that'll channel into mind. Do you open yourself up to stuff? A lot of people that say the paranormal paranormal can even include alien visitations and stuff like that. You open yourself up to it is what does, you know, if you are someone who's susceptible to it, open yourself up. So that's a hard issue, because let me start on this. If you're not exposed to science back in the day, you know, hundreds of years ago, or if you're from a place with more of a superstition as opposed to Danish people, or you experience it yourself, what you saw seemed real. It is real because you saw it. Is it a wonder that so many people chalk this up to paranormal? No, not at all. Hallucinations are crazy realistic. And when you're not taking drugs, you're paralyzed and stuff. I understand why. So then you go down that road of, well, are people just opening themselves up to these things, or is it really just sleep paralysis? I'm of the mind to say that it is probably just sleep paralysis that is terrifying. But if I was an alien being, I sure would use that as a way to be able to abduct people, because you can't scientifically say that it's not just that.
Well, the reason it's such an interesting topic is because it's not an isolated incident. You know, when we talk about one abduction, we talk about Travis Walton. As cool as that story is, it's one isolated incident that you're relying on the eyewitness account of a handful of people. One main person and then a couple of their friends. You're talking about millions of people that, over time, that have experienced right. this. And they all report similar feelings, similar visions. I mean, you even gave the three categories earlier, Brent. Everyone talks about how something evil was sitting on top of their chest. It's no matter what it is very interesting that so many people report the same experience.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, is that social conditioning? Is that the things we see and we're exposed to are shaping that, or are they really coming and getting you? Well, you know what?
Or is it your brain filling in the gaps? They're all experiencing this physical manifestation of, you know, maybe it's a little harder to breathe. I don't know. Whatever it is, that it feels like a pressure on your chest, and your brain's filling in the gaps. Something's sitting on
your chest.
You turn
your head fast. You know, you're driving. You thought you saw, you know, insert. Is that a giant buffalo? Nope, it's a water tank. You know, because your brain kind of sees something, and it fills into what you thought
you
saw.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a hell of a drug, too, you know? I don't know. Importantly, it's not our job to know. You know whose job it is? The listeners. How can they tell us what it really is, and we're idiots and they hate Sebastian?
Hey. I would go online. Maybe Hysteria Nation. It is our Facebook discussion group. Just go to Facebook.com and search Hysteria Nation.
Also, if you are interested in letting Sebastian know how much you hate him, here is his personal phone number, area code.
No, no. We're not doing that again. Litigation's not even done off the last time.
You get more cease and desist that way.
Yeah. Also, if you're on Facebook, look up facebook.com/hysteria51pod. But if you're on YouTube, our main man Sebastian's got a page for you to go to. What are you talking about? Tell us about your YouTube channel.
So I've got a YouTube channel. It is Seb Casso.
Okay, you're done. No, I'm joking. yeah, what's your YouTube? I'm sorry.
CEBCASSO. I make a lot of random videos. I'd like to do short films. Like I was saying, Marco and Luisi. I've got a pretty sweet trailer I made, or you can watch the full thing, which isn't as good as the trailer, naturally.
Naturally. Yeah, I'm looking you up right now.
And that was one more time. That was CEB what?
CASSO.
Like Seb Casso.
Yeah, it's also my gamer tag on Xbox. It's my TikTok account, I think it's like everything.
Password. To my bank account.
Just my social security, actually.
Oh, nice. Slower. And again, please.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, you got a subscriber, and what we'll do. Are you on Facebook?
I am, yeah.
We'll hop on Hysteria Nation and make sure that you post links to that in Hysteria Nation as well, and we'll get everyone to be checking that out. And everyone needs to subscribe to our man here. Also, while you're subscribing, Patreon. Patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can find Mad Blurry Hysterias, Up All Nights, radio dramas, pictures of... No, not a picture. Songs of John rapping. That is on there. What song was it, John?
Regulate.
Mount Up. It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. I'm not joking. He did that in like high school in one of those like you'll be a star places. And yep, that's on there. You can listen to him rapping.
And for all of you that were hoping the story then went on. And so then he got a phone call and it was a producer.
And it was the first cease and desist. I represent humanity.
We would prefer if you never did this again.
You have the right to remain silent, and I hope you do stay silent.
You have the right. I just don't know if you have the capacity. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. But if you forget this stuff, Hysteria51.com, Gophopedia.com. John, I had a good idea for Gophopedia. I'll say it on the air. You know what we should do? We should have that forward to our, instead of here, our TeePublic page.
Oh.
I'm thinking about that. That way, if they need some merch, they could go, that's something we'll have to work on. Or maybe if you got a better idea, probably not, because everything I say is usually the best. But, you know, it's something we can talk about.
I don't know. I hate the idea of giving TeePublic all of that traffic. I mean,
tens of people.
Gophopedia
a year.
Is kind of a. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's kind of a big deal. Okay.
Yeah. The bandwidth he's chewing through just for that is astronomical. Speaking of astronomical amount of thank yous to you, Sebastian. Thank you so much for doing this, and thank you for being awesome. You never know what you're going to get when you have someone on. You were great. Nearly as embarrassing as it is being on with John.
Oh, well, you know, that was my standard, so I knew I could hit that.
Just don't be like John.
Mom always said getting guests on podcasts was like a box of chocolates. Never know what you're going to get.
You take a bite out of it, people get upset. Wait, what?
This just went in a weird direction. Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
The damnedest thing. All right, so that's been, well, our thoughts and Sebastian's thoughts on sleep paralysis. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Sebastian.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bob.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.